May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, in honor of All Saints' Day, the 8th grade confirmation class spent the evening learning about sainthood. And we got to know some of the great heroes of the Christian faith. Some our churches are named for, like Peter and Andrew. But others you might be surprised to learn are recognized as saints by the Episcopal Church, like Clive Staples Lewis, whose feast day falls just 10 days from now. Nobody in the class recognized that name because we all know Clive Staples better as what? C.S. Lewis, exactly. And everybody had heard of C.S. Lewis. Because in addition to being a brilliant and incredibly prolific theologian, he wrote the wonderful children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. So I've had C.S. Lewis on my mind this week, and I've always looked up to him because he tackles theological questions, even ones that are very scary and strange, in such a faithful and approachable way. And today's readings, if you noticed, are about the strange and scary end of the world. So I went back to my beat-up copy of Mere Christianity, a book I know many of you know very well. And in that book, Lewis takes on the question that Jesus hints at in the gospel today, and Paul approaches directly in the letter to the Thessalonians. If God in Christ is going to come back, if we can truly look forward to a second coming, when somehow all the sin and suffering of this world will be taken away, then why hasn't it happened yet? What are we waiting for? What is God waiting for? And Lewis's answer is, it's true we don't know when Christ will return, but we can guess why he is delaying. He says, Christ wants to give us the chance of joining his side freely. I do not suppose you and I would have thought much of a Frenchman who waited till the Allies were marching into Germany and then announced he was on our side. And as you may know, Mere Christianity is a book that got its start as a radio series in England between 1941 and 45 while the bombs were falling. So when Lewis talks about good and evil and cowardice and bravery and the moment for choosing a side, he's not joking around. And he echoes every scripture reading we just heard and saying, what you do matters to God. How you spend your days matters. Your choices, they matter. The Old Testament reading today is from the last chapter of the book of Joshua, because it's the last chapter of Joshua's life. At this point in the story, he's lived a long time and been a faithful leader of his people. And he knows now that his own end of days is near. So as you hear this story from Joshua, what you should see in your mind is the second to last scene in the sports movie where the coach gives his team a pep talk for the last time. And Joshua at this point has had a long time to reflect. And he loves his people. And in his last chance to address them, this is what he has to say. Choose this day whom you will serve. And he tells them, I serve the God of Israel. You can serve any God you want. But now is the time to choose. And his people want to please him, and they say, of course we serve the God of Israel. We're the tribes of Israel. But he tells them, no, you don't understand. You think that because of who you are and where you come from, you have an in. You think that to serve God, all you have to do is show up. But serving the Lord is not that easy. You have to want it. You have to choose it. And you have to want it in your life so badly that you're willing to give up worshiping all other gods. So you better get ready to tell those other gods goodbye. Goodbye to the gods of the Canaanites and of the Amorites. And goodbye to the gods of wealth and nice things and luxury vacations. And goodbye to the gods of ambition and power who are hungry gods, who will demand sacrifices of your honesty, your integrity, your family. The God of Israel does not want you to make those sacrifices to them. You can freely choose, Joshua says, to worship any of these gods, or you can choose the God of Israel. But you can't have both. So this is the moment where you can see in your mind the coach on the field with his players saying, anyone who doesn't have what it takes is welcome to walk off right now. Anyone want to devote his life to one of these other gods instead? Because there's time. Now's your chance. And it works. He rallies the team and they say, we can do it. We have what it takes. We want to give our lives to God. And so he tells them for the third and the last time, this is not going to be easy. You have to be all out or all in. I'm all in. Who's with me? And for a third time, the people say, the Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. We're all in. And we, the readers, are left there with this message, which is not a comfortable message, because if you're going to choose any God to follow, the God of the Bible is not the easiest one you could pick. And we're especially reminded of that by today's gospel. It's amazing to me that this story made the final cut of the Gospel of Matthew, because no one likes it. Right? The foolish bridesmaids are so careless. The wise ones won't share. And the bridegroom is mean. He's mean. How can he represent Jesus in the story and slam the door? But if we pull this story apart just a little bit, there's a lot happening underneath. The Gospel of Matthew was written 40 or 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So at that time, 50 years is enough for a generation or two to pass. The few people left who knew Jesus on earth are at the end of their lives. And they're asking the question that Lewis would ask again almost 2,000 years later. We were promised a second coming, they say, so where is he? Where's Jesus? Isn't he coming back? Shouldn't he have come by now? They're the bridesmaids with the lamp saying, he's late. Why is he late? And you can imagine, after all the initial excitement of the very early church, what was happening 50 years later. Some of the followers of Jesus were as committed as ever, and they were hanging on or trying to. And others had been on the bandwagon but started to give up and lose interest and drift away. And those earliest Christians were so hopeful that they would see him again in their lifetimes. They missed him. They were like bridesmaids with lamps, waiting so patiently to get into that party. And when it started to look like maybe the bridegroom wasn't coming, or maybe not coming on the timeline they had planned, the faithful refilled their lamps and kept waiting, and reminded each other that that was what they were called to do. And the not so faithful started to wonder if there was anything left in it for them. It's a hard life following Jesus. It's a lot of work. And the payoff started to seem very small. And so they were happy to have an excuse to leave. And it's excruciating to imagine Jesus as that bridegroom looking any of us in the eyes and saying, "I do not know you." But what he's really saying in this story is, "I do know who you are. You are halfway committed. And I am not a halfway kind of God. You want to come to this banquet? You're invited. Everyone's invited. But you have to be all out or all in." The second coming of Christ, says C.S. Lewis, will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time, he says, when we discover which side we really have chosen, whether we realized it or not. And now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. And in our own day, in our own time, in the walls of this church, we are pretty far removed from the original tribes of Israel. And we have 2 millennia separating us from those first Christians who were waiting for Jesus to come back. And yet we're still tempted by all the same distractions and false gods that they were. And we have the same promise of a God whose faith is perfect and whose love is infinite if we decide that we're willing to risk it all and commit. We can cling to false gods. That option will always be there. Or we can follow the God of Israel as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.
Amen.